Hello, my name is Mercury. Wait, no, my name's not Mercury. What the fuck am I talking about? My name is Pancakes, and welcome to this brand new episode of Media Buffet. Today, I'll be taking it solo to talk about one of the latest animated films that hit theaters on April. Today, we're talking about the animated film Bad Guys, and which was released by DreamWorks Animation and Universal Pictures. Now, what I want to talk about this movie, obviously there are going to be spoilers, so if you haven't watched the movie, then I suggest you stop listening to this episode, because, yeah. But yeah, I really liked The Bad Guys in the sense that I was looking forward to this kind of animation. I don't know where to put my finger on it. Like, I've seen it before somewhere, but I don't know where else I've seen it. I think it's the Captain Underpants movie, and if not that, probably the Peanuts movie, or the Spider-Verse movie, Mitchell the Machines, which I didn't see, by the way, and other Pixar-related, and other films such as Pixar films, but yeah. Moving on from that, there are numerous things I want to talk about this movie, and one of those things is the fact that I could find nothing wrong with this movie. This movie is absolutely perfect in every single fucking way. At least in my opinion, because the movie itself is about a bunch of bad guys, evidently, who have spent their entire, adult lives, presumably, making heists and stealing some valuable stuff. And the movie opens with them stealing a summable amount of value. I don't remember what it was, but yeah. And afterwards, yeah. After that, they end up trying to steal the golden dolphin statue. I don't remember, which is like a basically a Good Samaritan award, which is being given to a guinea pig called Professor Marmalade, and ironically enough, one of the characters, Mr. Snake, loves eating guinea pigs, so that is the only reason why he wants to steal that thing, for some reason, like, yeah. Basically, the context here is that as soon as they are stealing the first thing in the movie, I don't remember what it was. Whilst they are doing what they need to do, the wolf is about to steal value from an old woman's purse. And as he's doing it, he accidentally does something that could end up pushing the woman down a long flight of stairs. And so, whilst getting stuck with the purse, he helps her out of, I have to do this shit. And when he does so, the woman praises him, and he gets like a little, in the words of the movie, actually tingle. And this is his first taste of actually doing good. I know this movie is corny in some aspects, and that is the only flaw I find with it. But aside from that, it's a really good movie. I really loved it. It's one. I think it's actually the first. Not including Pixar or Disney, of course, but it's Pixar and Disney. It's the first good animated feature I've seen in the 2020s. Mark my words. But yeah. Basically, here's the thing. Yeah, this tingle continues to bother him throughout the movie to the point where they're stealing that big statue, the golden dolphin, and they get arrested for doing it. And somehow the hamster is, whatever the fuck, guinea pig, hamster, same shit. The hamster convinces both the governor and the chief of police, who has been waiting to capture them for a long time, to give them like a probation chance, to give them the chance to send him to the rich hamster's condo to quote-unquote teach them how to be good. when in reality, in the end, spoiler alert, by the way, they end up the wolf doesn't trust the good tingle thing, but leaves it in the back of his mind, to the point where they plan on stealing the dolphin statue again at the ceremony, like when they the gala ceremony fundraiser shit of the hamster. And when they actually plan on doing it, the wolf doesn't go along with the plan out of hesitation. And then, like, the little, there's a, like, the whole thing about the story is that, okay, the story is based on evidently a city that is based on Los Angeles. I don't know if it's called Los Angeles in the film, but yeah, it's based heavily on Los Angeles. I recognized it the moment they went into their secret base for the first time, because those water, like, drainage tunnel thingies, like, those dugout rivers, passageways things, I've seen those before, because I've driven along those passageways millions of times with GTA Online. So yeah, I knew that was Los Angeles with the instant I saw them. So yeah. What addiction gets you, huh? Moving on. Yeah. That kind of thing does happen with certain scenes. But overall, after that happens, yeah, when they're at the gala shit and they don't go along with the plan, the lights still go out somehow. And, you know, the meteor that struck the city, but then it was in the shape of a heart, and then the rich guy took it and used it as a symbol of love, and then everyone loved him and, like, shit and stuff like that. Yeah, that aspect of the story doesn't make a lot of sense, but yeah. That crater ends up being stolen. And then when you find out who it is, like, they frame the bad guys for it, even though they didn't move a fucking inch while doing it. Worthy of note. And then they frame them for doing it and send them to be arrested again. And the hamster somehow again convinces both the chief of police and the governor to, and the governor not so much because she's like sus with the whole thing. Pero yeah. Yeah. I was not expecting this at all. It is revealed that the hamster is a twist villain, and that he planned on stealing the meteor to use it as an energy source for, like, a bunch of hamsters, which he freed and shit. And, oh yeah, I forgot to mention, while they were in this whole turning them good thing, while the bad guys were with the hamster, they freed a bunch of hamsters from an animal testing lab. I'm guessing that's why PETA didn't attack this movie for the use of animals, but yeah. Basically, after this, they shamed the bad guys for it, but they got off, like, barely. And, like, they were on thin ice. And after that, they were on thin ice, actually. With the chance they were given, they were on thin ice, then they were on thinner ice. But yeah, after that happened, that was the hamster wanted to do, because the meteor turned out to have a bunch of energy inside it, and he wanted to use it as an energy source for hamsters, like, for a bunch of guinea pigs, to basically rule over the city, I guess? Pero yeah. When this happens, and they actually arrest the bad guys, a mysterious Ronin-like figure breaks into the prison and frees them. And who is this person? The governor. Yeah, Diane Foxington, or Diana Sorrento in Spanish, whatever the hell. She is known as a very famous thief, which is mentioned earlier in the movie, called the Crimson Paw, who stole many more things than the actual bad guys, and was never caught. And that's what, that's part of the reason why they tried to steal the Golden Dolphin, because no one had been able to steal it. And it's been attempted multiple times. The Crimson's Paw was included, but she didn't steal it. But not because she couldn't, because she had it in her hands, but she described it in the story that she, like, hesitated and, like, saw, like, basically reminisced about her life and just returned the dolphin and was never caught, as always. Pero, yeah. I find this really funny because this animated feature mirrors the real world in every single way possible. In the fact that a person with a questionable history, I'm not gonna say criminal history because not every politician has a criminal history for now. A person with a questionable history made it to a position of power. I'm not shaming Deanne, she's a really good character and she played her role really well, but in a political context, that basically mirrors real life. Diane, same shit. Pero, yeah. Now that we're getting on that, I want to talk about the characters. All of them, actually. Let me just open this shit real quick. So yeah, first up, I want to talk about Mr. And they're all called Mr. or Miss. First up, I want to talk about Mr. Wolf, the main character, or one of them. Damn, that shit is carbonated. So, Mr. Wolf in specific, he is a very good character. Again, I want to praise this animation. This animation's fucking peak. Like, I like that they use general, like, smooth animation, but they also draw out specific aspects of the characters and frames to make it kind of like a wacky but comic kind of vibe. You know, like, basically the modern Looney Tunes and Tom and Jerry cartoons, where, like, their movements are cartoon-like, like, from the past. Pero they retain some modern elements. This is that on steroids. Not only that, but Mr. Wolf himself, he is a really good character who shows signs of struggle, like, reminiscing about his own life and how his changes affect his personality to the point where it creates a rift between his companions for a moment. And this rift expands, like, due to the friendship Mr. Wolf has with Mr. Snake, this rift expands to Mr. Snake, actually, and causes him to have that good feeling as well and turn to the good. Okay, so this is the flowchart. Mr. Wolf, gang, heist, old lady, purse, tingle, good boy, tail wag, the cycle starts, movie continues, Mr. Wolf fucks up the Golden Dolphin heist thanks to his good feeling tingle hesitation thing, they're on thin ice after avoiding jail time thanks to a rich hamster teaches them about being good. Good feeling continues on Mr. Wolf in the background, and it starts to influence other members. Mr. Wolf and the others are framed for stealing the Golden Dolphin again. Hamster is revealed to be Twist villain. Snake finds out about Mr. Wolf's good feeling background hiding thing. Then Snake, reminiscing about Mr. Wolf, also gets, like, infested with the good feeling thing. And then he unconsciously, like, when he gives the push pop candy popsicle thing to Shark after, like, actually doing something good, he didn't even realize it. And then, like, everyone else got that good, like, when everyone's, like, body limbs started to tingle, that was corny as hell. I'm sorry, but that was corny as hell. That's the only thing I hate about this movie. Corny. Like, cornism. Like, not horny, cornism. Like, when something is, like, repetitive to the point where you see it in almost every TV show. Like, the power of friendship and family in both The Fast and Furious and most Disney Channel shows. Yeah, that kind of corniness. And not only that. Let's continue the flowchart. Mr. Snake does good deed. Mr. Snake abandons group to go to Hamster. With secret plot in mind to end Hamster career after Hamster separate Mr. Wolf from them. Snake goes, Snake attempts to coop with Hamster to... do something. Like, to carry out his energy plan. And when they do this, Wolf reunites with others and they try and stop Snake and Hamster. It is then revealed that after they somehow, like, Snake is sacrificed by Hamster, Wolf saves Snake, and then Hamster thinks that he, like, got away with the meteor. But then the meteor is revealed to be a lamp because Snake swindled, like, finessed the Hamster, because he actually left the meteor in the base, because they thought that the meteor had to be within a certain range of the Hamster's and mind control device, but it actually wasn't. He just drove the Hamster into thinking this so that he could keep the actual meteor whilst they were distracted by something else. I don't remember what was it. Actually, yeah, when... yeah, actually, they reveal the fact that they took the meteor from the base on purpose. The meteor being the lamp, not the actual meteor. So the Hamster thinks they took the meteor so that he goes after them and he can leave the real meteor in the base, to the point where the whole chase sequence happens. And then after Snake reveals what he actually did, he just snaps his fingers and conveniently the thing explodes in the Hamster's base. Revealing A, his plans. Really, A, his plans, B, what he stole, and Snake actually double-crossed the Hamster, because in the same way that the Hamster framed the entire group for stealing the Golden Dolphin, the second time, not the first time, because then they actually did try to steal it. The Golden Dolphin was already, like, in the Hamster's hands. Hamster framed them for stealing the meteor at the gala. In the same way that the Hamster framed them for stealing the meteor at the gala, Snake got his revenge and double-crossed him and framed him for stealing A, the meteor, B, a diamond which was originally stolen by Deanne or the Crimson Paw, and C, something else that I don't remember. And yeah, they framed him for being the Crimson Paw and they sent him to prison for a very long time, and like as a petty revenge to what he did to them. And yeah, that is one of the main traits of both Mr. Wolf and Mr. Snake, their on and off friendship, where they're like to the point where they basically betray each other, but not really, because they like make it up to each other afterwards, to the point where it all works out in the end somehow with this chaotic style of narrative. Literally because of heist and shit. Many people seem to complain with the fact that this movie has a lot of twists in it. But that's the point of the movie. That's the dynamic of the movie, actually. Because this is a heist movie. It mirrors how actual heists work. When things go wrong in a heist, you switch to plan B or plan C or whatever other thing you may have. Like, things switch direction very quick. Sometimes heist groups don't even have plans. I haven't watched Money Heist, by the way. I'm just basing this off my head and common knowledge. Sometimes heist groups don't even have plans, and if they can't steal the value object in the desired manner, they just attempt to do it another way or flee. Like, for example, if you're running into I'm gonna use GTA for example. Like, you can't advance without stealing the objective. It's not that good of an example, but yeah. When you steal the objective, and you want to go undetected, but you do go detected, you have two options. A, bolos for the entirety of the I'm talking about Diamond Casino, by the way. A, bolos throughout the entire security crew and try to escape using multiple planned out routes that you've planned before with friends or like watched in tutorials and shit. You can either go through the edge of the horse track, or you can go for like the edge of the security tunnel, or you can go for like the edge of the entrance of the horse track. But yeah, there are different routes you can take, and you've got to plan them ahead. Or not, you can just wing it and hope that it works, which is a mix of both is what happened in this movie, actually. And yeah, that is the dynamic of it, and I don't see why people have a problem with it. Now that I spoke about the dynamic and those two characters, I want to talk about the other characters, because, yeah. I didn't find out until later, after actually watching the movie, where Anthony Ramos, the guy who plays Mr. Piranha, is the same guy who played Usnavi, the main character in Lin-Manuel Miranda's movie musical In the Heights. And I think that's good, because you know that one music scene they have at the gala, it's really wholesome in all aspects, because you actually see the first close interactions with in between Deanne and Mr. Wolf. It's kind of like an on and off like lover boy kind of skit throughout the movie, like 50s duets style or Perfect Ed Sheeran and Beyonce style. Pero yeah, on and off swindle kind of shit. The scene was really wholesome, because Piranha being the muscles guy, you don't actually expect him to be the musical guy. And yeah, I really liked that they picked... No, actually, this revelation came when they tried to sing Snake's Birthday, like the grumpy guy. Pero it was emphasized in this scene, and I really liked it, because from a musical standpoint, I play guitar and have experimented with other instruments. It was actually a really good song, even though they didn't animate the drums correctly. Like, it was actually a really good song, and really good voice acting by Anthony Ramos. I praise him for such, and I hope that they can implement these kinds of like semi-celebrity castings in the future, where they don't cast people just for being celebrities, LeBron James and Smallfoot, but for the actual voice talent that can be embedded into other abilities or things, such as Anthony Ramos' music skills being implemented into Mr. Piranha's character in this movie. I really liked that, and I hope that more animated features do it in the future, not just for the sake of profit, LeBron James and Smallfoot. Pero, yeah. About Mr. Shark. What? You're telling me that Craig Robinson, the guy who plays Daryl Philbin in The Office, plays a metrosexual shark? Metrosexual, not anything else, just metrosexual. Like, ¿qué? Like, I was blown away. Like, yeah, it's seeable if you have actually seen The Office and seen Daryl and like in a couple of scenes, like emphasized on him. But damn, it took me by surprise, because like Craig Robinson, I've heard that name before. When I looked at the picture, ¿qué? ¿Es este tipo? I did not see it like at all. But yeah, he actually did good voice acting as well. Everyone did good voice acting. The only questionable character that I would see actually is like none. All the actors did actual real really good voice acting. And the jokes, like, I want to draw a comparison. I'm sorry about Mr. Piranha again. About Mr. Piranha's tendency to have really really smelly farts. I like that they didn't force this joke like Illumination Minions movies fart gun or fart jokes. I like that they actually implemented the farts into his character, where to the point where the farts actually save or curse them in multiple situations, such as the one close call in the first Golden Dolphin heist, where where Awkwafina was this close. Awkwafina, the spider, where she was the tarantula, where she was this close to hacking, but then she passed out from his fart. Like, this was an example of a curse. But in the same manner when I don't remember like the specific scene, but when Mr. Wolf and some of the others were in peril. No, when Mr. Wolf and Deanne were like in danger from the hamster, when they were about to get cut down, by the assistant, Cuddles, I think he was called. I don't remember, but yeah. The fart from the vent that came, sus. It actually saved them because it made Cuddles unconscious, and yeah, they were able to like enter and free them. I like that they actually implemented that trait into his character and not just faking Illumination. Now the final character I want to talk about, Miss Tarantula, voiced by Awkwafina. I've seen a rare amount of Awkwafina movies. I think she was in that one movie about the girl who played violin and found a Yeti, and then that, and I don't remember the name of that movie, but it was Abominable, I think it was called. But it was about, like, it took place in China or Hong Kong or Taiwan, whichever, where they, I think it was Hong Kong actually, but yeah, where they basically, it was an adventure that her father and like played violin and she played violin and like a bunch of magic skills. It was a really, that was a really good movie too. But yeah. That movie, I think she was in that movie. I think she was in Raya the Last Dragon too. She was also in Shang-Chi. Or Shang-Chi. Yeah. She was in Shang-Chi and playing the role of Sean's bestie. And yeah. This is another one of her roles. Again, she did she did a very good job in this one. She implemented the jokes into the movie. She didn't just force them. And yeah, she did an amazing job, just as all the other characters. Overall, I'd say that my favorite character has to be Deanne, the major. Not because she is an anthropomorphic character or anything, but because of her smoothness. Like the way that she swindled Mr. Wolf in multiple occasions, and then she was revealed to be like a twist secondary character. I really liked that aspect. I really did. If I had to say the main character, like my favorite character of the main cast, it'd have to be Mr. Piranha. I'm sorry. His jokes, his multiple really greatly implemented character traits, along with the fact that he's Latino, like, easy W. Easy W for me. But overall, all these praises and comments are part of what made this movie a great one, and I hope that if not a win, it at least gets an Oscar nomination. That is all for today, folks, and I will see you in the next one. Goodbye.